Hello and welcome to all our live viewers. We are on Instagram through the Talking Para podcast page on Instagram, so please join that one. And thank you to everyone who has joined that one right now. This is round 11 of the NRL, and it is episode 11 of the Talking Para podcast for season 2023. So a little bit different tonight. We're on Instagram. So joining us tonight, we've got Joel from League of Inches, which I believe is down in the bottom right-hand corner. We've got we've got Hayden over there to my left from the Entertain House. We've got myself, Troy from the Para Cave podcast, and we've got our illustrious host Mr. Adam Martin as well joining us as well. So this is a little bit different, boys. This should be a bit of fun, and over to you, Adam. Let's get into it.
Yeah, first of all, we're all over the place. You're pointed in different directions to what
I'm the top right, Hayden's next to me.
It's not working like that for me, that's for sure. Let's get on with it. Look, obviously a magic round weekend. Great weekend of footy. I was up there for it, a lot of footy. Never watched that much to love football in my life. Kind of waiting for first grade to kick off on the Sunday afternoon. It never came. It was obviously a pretty disappointing result there. Playing the Titans in a game that we really were expected to win. Look, I've watched the game back since I've been home, and I never like to do this. I'm going to go straight in it straight away because I've said it in other places. And it's easy to blame players' decisions, but I know I spoke in our group chat. For me, it was a coaching decision and bad choices were made this week. I'm not going to say too much. I'm not going to personally attack a couple of players because I don't think it was their fault they were chucked to the deep end. But I thought it was a very strange choice to bring Davey straight in. I don't get it. Like, for me, I said it last week as well, the thoughts around, I thought maybe he was putting Cartwright or Madison on notice. Well, if that was the point of it, Cartwright and Madison were both excellent when they did come on. Madison ran for about 240 metres, I think, on nose line in 22 runs. Cartwright created a bit of spark we needed and ran hard as well. And neither of them found himself back in the starting team this week. So it still didn't make sense to me. For me, the strangest decision ever was putting Moses back to fullback during the Gutherson sin binning, and for me that's what cost us the game. Someone's just commented the sin binning kill us. The sin binning was legit. Look, it wasn't much in it, but it was dumb. It was just a dumb move to make, something he didn't really need to do. But the fact that he put Moses back there, it weakened our right hand edge that was already changed. Now, if you're going to make changes, it's one thing, but to do that, take Moses out of there, we opened up to an experienced player like Foran and their most dangerous second rower in Fifita, just to run straight through us. So pretty dumb, pretty disappointing. Look, we showed a bit of flight back, which is always good, but although Dylan had probably his best game of the year, as soon as Moses went off, we lacked direction as usual. So that's my thoughts. Joel, I know you were there as well as Troy. I'll go to you next for your thoughts.
Me or Troy?
You.
I said you.
I'm pretty curious still. I feel like we're our own worst. To be honest, I thought coaching decisions were pretty horrible. Been a massive BA fan for a long time, and I'm starting to question that. I'm starting to question the loyalties there, and I think we'll probably talk about that a bit more as we go tonight. The Davey decision from mine, just he was literally at the 6 or 7 days and straight into a starting spot for two players for mine who were doing a great job. Maddo for mine, one of our best for at least the last month, so I don't know what sort of message he wants to send to Maddo, but for mine he's on the edge of the blues at the moment because I just think he's in that good of form. So I don't know what sort of message you send there by putting a guy who's just come in back club, and he wasn't even starting at the Dogs. Like, it wasn't as if we've signed someone who was an absolute superstar. We haven't signed like a David Fifita or something. Like, it's Andrew Davies. Like, no offense to the bloke, but he hasn't set the world on fire, and we decided to make him a superstar for some reason. And Kieran Foran just absolutely ran rings around him. I watched the highlights again earlier just before, and he basically was single-handedly part of the two first tries that Foran got. You mentioned the Gutho sin bin, and I love Gutho, but that was just a stupid play. We don't need to be giving teams let him have that try and we'll just get straight back. We started the game well. We scored in the first 2 minutes. So we were on, and then that just straight away killed the momentum we had. And we just do it so much this year. We just kill our own momentum. And it's just been, it's been hard to watch. It's sort of a, Cardi did well, as you mentioned. I feel like the two players who did really well, I will normally mention that a bit later, so I won't go into that. Fine again. Josh Hodgson, I was finally there live watching everything he does. His first up contact with so many tackles is so weak, and that costs us so much. Players get so much momentum on him. So I know for weeks now, some people have been saying it's good to start him for that defensive part of it. But for mine, defense is his weakest part. He hasn't got the contact in there to stop players and stop teams' momentum. And for some reason, hands took a lot longer for him to come on than normal. And we finally looked like a much better football team when hands was back in the side. So I don't know what it's going to take. BA has a big pride thing, I feel. Time to bite that bullet. And it's really disappointing this week's team. So
yeah, I got the hands thing for me. I know it seems silly because he played more minutes in the past, but I'm reading some of the comments here, and there's one bloke I don't want on this podcast is Matt. But anyway, I'll show you later, Matt. Look, the biggest thing, he's throwing me off completely. The biggest thing for me is they brought hands on with that 25-minute game mark would have been a plan based on how the Titans have fallen off games in the last 3 or 4 weeks. Even when they beat Manly the week before, they still fell off in that last 20-minute period before coming a bit stronger. So I got the impact of hands, but yeah, I agree. Probably needs to be starting. In saying that, for once, and I'll say it for once, I actually thought that hands was probably weaker this week than Hodgson was. I know Hodgson didn't offer much, but I didn't think hands had the best game. We'll go to you next, Hayden, because you're at home watching. How'd it look from home?
Well, I think in the absence of Campbell Gillard, you mentioned his name. I think Bryce Cartwright, as well as Madison, but I think Bryce Cartwright has really stepped up. So that's a promising side that the forward pack has looked good with those losses. Look, I think Bryce Cartwright has been one of our best players this season. At the start, maybe not, but consistent footy, especially of recently, he's been good. You mentioned Dylan Brown probably being, if not his best game all season, one of his best games all season. Had an absolute blinder and named in the six this week. We've touched on different options about putting him at centre, putting him at fullback, but as you'll see later, retains that number six. But got ourselves back into the game. It was all the Titans after, we scored early on, but it was all the Titans made Kieran Foran look like Andrew Johns out there, which was a little bit embarrassing. He's definitely not Andrew Johns at any of the clubs he's been at. And he's been playing 1 year too long, in my opinion.
Tell us what you really think.
But, yeah, you should too, Troy. But we got the moment, like we gained the momentum and silly decisions towards the end probably cost us that game. You can argue that cost us that game, the Gutherson, which personally I think it was the right call. It was a silly decision, but I don't think we're playing that bad in attacking footy. Still scoring plenty of points. Again, still leaking a lot of points, but some of the right decisions there, especially the, was it Sean Lane at the end or Junior Paulo? It was Sean Lane, and Junior Paulo gave him an absolute spray. It was Sean Lane, very costly there at the end when, you've got the game within a grasp.
Yeah, for sure. Troy?
Yeah, look, sorry, Joel. What were you going to say?
On Sean Lane quickly, I don't know. I know he's come back, he's not himself, but seriously, he's made him play 80 minutes non-stop basically since he's come back. And he's just not the player he was. And I don't know what it's going to take for him to actually change that. It's mind-blowing.
Yeah, we'll get to that. We'll go through Troy's thoughts and we'll get to some changes and what we'd like to do. So, Troy?
Yeah, unlike probably you guys, I haven't seen a replay of the game. So I'm pretty sort of dark in this game. I can only remember what I saw on the field on Sunday. So, yeah, look, I totally agree with all of you guys about the selection of Andrew Davey. I thought it was a very strange decision to bring him in, considering we won against Newcastle the week before. I thought probably just stick with the same side. Why change a winning formula? It seemed to work against Newcastle, so keep it again. You need that connection and you need that connectivity to keep that momentum happening. So I was very strange about that selection. I haven't looked at the Gutho Simbining real closely at the ground. I thought, well, it was just one of those things that happened really, really quickly. And, you know, he was just trying to compete for the ball, like going like this. But obviously, well, it was a Simbining and that cost us. Dylan Brown was on fire. Over 200 metres, couple of line breaks, assists. So probably his best game of the season by far after getting a bit of a rocket from BA. But my real player, rocket from Joel. I forgot about that last week's podcast. So yes, you must have listened to the Talking Para podcast last week. So did you happen to see Dylan up at Magic Round, Joel, at all?
Nah, didn't actually catch up, unfortunately.
Okay. But yeah, I thought it was good of them to come back. You saw when Gutho came back on the field, he was really determined to make a difference because he felt that he let the team down by being Simbin. In terms of Moses going back to fullback, well, I think we've seen that before in some games, and also, yeah, him going back to fullback. Yeah, probably not the right decision. You know, he's not really known as a fullback, is he? So I probably wouldn't have put him back there. I probably would have put maybe Dunster back there, or he could play
Bailey.
Yeah, Bailey as well. Yeah, definitely. So yeah, I think Dylan was outstanding. I think Ryan Madison was outstanding. And actually, that man that you just mentioned, Hayden Bailey, I thought he had one of his best games for Parramatta that we've seen him play, which I know which will make Adam very happy about that.
I've actually frozen, actually. I don't know if you sound like a robot just to me or to everyone else. But
no, it's the same, mate. You need to pay your internet bill.
My internet bill, Troy.
Troy.
It's all three of you guys sounding the same. So, look, just to, if you want that, you just have to listen back to the audio version of the podcast and you'll hear it crystal clear, mate.
Yeah, available on Apple, Spotify and iTunes.
Oh, right? Yes, wherever good podcasts are found.
Yeah, I know. Well, let's move on so we can actually get to see. Look, based on what you said there, I'll clarify one thing. Moses has gone to fullback when we had obviously 13 on the field, two injuries and stuff. If Gutherson had gone off or anything along those lines, if Gutherson had a rest, well, even if Gutherson was out. So putting him back there when we're down to 12 was silly. You nailed it on the head. I said straight away that Bailey should have gone back there. He went back there in, I believe it was round one when Gutherson went off, or might have been round two against the Sharks. It was a disaster when he went back there. He was terrible. But in that kind of game, it probably wasn't to have. So, just a lot of disappointing decisions and a lot of soft tries from both teams, to be honest. So, probably wasn't the best game. It came down to goal kicking in the end once again. And, look, we've got ourselves in a pretty awkward situation now. Moving on, anyone else got anything to add from that game or the decisions before we go into our player of the matches and moments of the match?
I think the Jaden Campbell decision, when he came in with his knees, and I think that was actually one they got away with there, because we've seen that in the past be a skin-vinable offence, and I think they actually when I looked at it again and watched that again, I thought that was actually one that went the Titans' way, and was, I feel like we weren't the better team in the end anyway, so I didn't.
Yeah, you're right, and that happened in Sean Russell, obviously, first game last year, the knees through the back. Nothing happened. He was out with a broken fractured ribs in the lung. So, but in saying that, for me, look, you're right. I didn't think we were the better team. And I thought we were going to snatch it, and I didn't think we deserved it. I went in my moment of the game, and it was only because it happened right in front of me. I'm going to go two. It was the Sivo and the Gutho tries back to back in 2 minutes. I sat on. I sat on the front row. I never sit in the front row. I usually sit about 14, 15 rows back. But I sat in the front row of the game, and I was right there in the Michael Sivo corner. So Sivo try, you've seen the photos, I'm in the background doing these ones. And then obviously straight after, Gutho scored 2 minutes later, and I'm giving the big fist pump and the hands up. So that photo will be posted in the next couple of days, I've been told. So I'm pretty excited for that. So those moments for me. And my player of the match, it's got to be Madison, just for the meters he ran for and effort he put in. So he proved a point that he should be starting, and it really hasn't been seen. So I don't know what else the bloke's got to do. I'll go to you next, Hayden.
Mate, I actually agree with you. I think everyone is thinking that, you know, and he had a fantastic game, that Dylan Brown was the man of the match. But I think Ryan Madison, again, trying to earn that starting spot. He's got a big milestone this week. So he's coming off a huge game, going into a milestone in a game where, even though he has stepped up, probably does need to step up in a few players' absence this week. But, yeah, I'd say Ryan Madison deserves that man of the match for the Eels in the hard loss.
Yep, Troy, hopefully we got you this time.
Yeah, I think my moment of the match was the Eels' first try, I think, scored by Michael Sebo. I think that was a great try, that one, I thought.
Why would that be, Troy?
Oh, no particular reason. It just happened so quickly, and I thought we were on, because we all know that Parramatta, when they score first, and you hope that they get that momentum and fast starters. But, yeah, players in the match, I think, yeah, look, I said it before, Dylan was up there, Ryan Madison. But, look, I'll give mine to Bailey Simonson.
Fair enough. Right, we'll go with that. All right, Joel, fire away.
Yeah, I'll go. Moment of the match, the Brown, it was late on and it was on the fight back, but I really liked the way he ran through, drew past. He was at full speed back to Davies, so I really think Dill Brown stood up and was probably the game he needed to have. So I'm really happy that he's actually going to end up coming up to probably his biggest game of his career coming up this weekend, I feel. Really needs to step up and own it. Player of the match, I've got to say Matto as well. And I was a bit surprised when Bear actually brought him off. I feel like that was the time we needed him the most. So that was very surprising. Once again, that was another decision I was questioning BA on for what seems to be a lot over the magic round. But yeah, I'm giving it to Matto. I think hands down, he was our best. And as I said, I feel like he's really getting that bench spot at the moment for the Blues.
Wonderful. Nothing else to add from last week. We don't need to go through the results from our predictions because I actually can't get them up because I'm on my phone. So
can we have magic round off? Magic round off next year? Like, we've only won one out of four, so.
Yeah, that's true. Against the Warriors a couple of years back, wasn't it? So, yeah, we haven't got the best result.
But at least we're not the Bulldogs and the Dragons who have never won at Magic Round.
Well, true.
Look, I want to touch on this. I spoke about it earlier. I was saying to Joel, and the concept of Magic Round is great. I love it. I love where it's come from. It's come from the Super League, obviously. And the Super League do it based around the fact that it's played in Newcastle every year. Newcastle, obviously, England, not Newcastle over here. That would be a big trouble. But they do it based on where there's no team. There's no team based out of Newcastle and all the teams play there. By taking it to Brisbane every year, there's no question, really, it's pretty obvious that all four Queensland teams had an advantage. You know, they didn't have the travel on top of that, and all four Queensland teams won. Obviously, well, the Cowboys still had a pretty bit of travel, but, you know, they're obviously comfortable playing there. So, for me, Magic Round moving on. I know it's at Brisbane next year, but I'd love to see it at New Zealand the year after. It is rumoured. I'd love to see the people of New Zealand get something back after 2 years of no football. I think Eden Park could be huge. And, yeah, so that's my theory. My theory is for next year keeping it at Brisbane, if that obviously is the plan. It can't be all played at Suncorp. So I think they float the idea of having the Friday night at Suncorp, maybe the Sunday at the Gabba and the Sunday there, because that pitch was terrible by Sunday.
You can't have it at the Gabba. I think it's a round field. You can't have it at the Gabba.
Well, they can't have 8 games at Suncorp again next year. And if there isn't, we're the 8th game again, questions need to be asked because that pitch was terrible. I didn't want Parramatta to play when I got there and it was pouring down rain because I thought we're going to get an injury at the
I was going to say, in New Zealand will probably have fucking Magic Round before they have a home match against the Warriors on Anzac Day. I see that happening before it's been a few years.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. But, like, yeah, I'd love to see Magic Round over there. Eden Park, it could be huge. But watch the space, see what happens, enjoy it next year. All right, moving on to this week's game.
Magic round at Belmore. Keep going.
Keep going.
Comeback Stadium.
Well, it needs to be somewhere with a capacity. Like, it doesn't... It works in Brisbane so well because there's so many fans up there of other teams. The Broncos come in the comp tours at 88 or 89. The Knights come in 88, so I think it was 89.
They'd have to do it at ANZ if they did it at Sydney. As nice as Combank Stadium is, they'd need to put... I know it sounds weird, but probably put the food facilities and add additional food, drinks, things like that, like you've got at Magic Round at ANZ. As shit as it is, besides a grand final to watch football, you're going to have those type of big crowds, and we've wanted it in Sydney for a few years now. So as much as you'd love to see in Parramatta, you can only fit 30,000 fans there. Whereas ANZ, you can fit, what, 80,000, 90,000 people? You probably want to see it there.
Yeah, no.
I don't think they'll get 90,000 based on the games. Like, it works well at some point, based on the fans up there and the fact that it only holds that 53,000. You're right, 30,000 is not enough. Look, the only other place I could see it working, I don't think it works in Sydney, to be honest, because all the Sydney teams have access to those games nearly every week. That's why it works taking it away.
Perth?
Well, Perth, same thing. It'd be round fair field. In Perth because there's a team over there. It doesn't matter about a round field.
That's the viewing for the spectators.
Well, why are we taking if you're on that tree, why are we taking Origin games to the MCG in Adelaide Oval and Perth?
Money. That's the only reason why.
Exactly right.
But how many times have you watched a game on a round field? It doesn't work. You've got to think of the spectators as well.
But the NRL aren't thinking of spectators. They're thinking about money. You've nailed it. So they don't care where they're going. They're thinking about money. Same as Parramatta going to Darwin. They don't care about the spectators. It's a terrible place to watch from. They want the money.
I'll say this much. I feel like... By the second game to third game, most people weren't watching the footy anymore. They're watching people sculling drinks, the Lord's thing. So I don't think it matters about the field and if it's circle or rectangle because most of them are neutrals. And by the third game, they don't care.
You're right. Drinks are cheaper in Melbourne too. So Melbourne, you can have an MCG, but the same thing, you're clashing with AFL, you'll never get the MCG. I personally believe the only place that works is Brisbane. It'll work in New Zealand because that is... They want something back. It would work at Newcastle, but the ground isn't big enough. So the only place it's going to work is probably to keep in Brisbane, so it's probably going to stay in Brisbane. I'd love to see it Optus Stadium Perth, but, look, it's probably not going to happen either. So watch the space. Enjoy it next year. Get over it. We lost. Let's move on to this week's game. 7:35 Canberra. Won our last two in a row there after having a pretty terrible record. Look, I'll go through the team first of all. I've got to do it here because I can't use my phone once again. So Guthers at the fullback. Starting Hodgson, Hooker, Paulo, Lane, Davey, Hopgood, and the bench is the same of Cartwright, Hands, Madison, and McIntyre. So the only change there is obviously Jake Arthur coming in. I'm going to touch on this straight away because I know people are going to bag it out, people are going to question it. Matt's on fire again. He's making me laugh every time I try and concentrate. Didn't go there, Matthew. Did not go there. If I did go there, I would have been taking your salary from your player payments. Anyway. Moving on, look, Jake Arthur, he cops a lot of shit. I think they need to turn around and let him run the team this week. I know there's going to be all the comments that Dylan has to step up, Guff has to step up and help him. I think it's Jake's team to run, and I think that's the opportunity he needs. We've seen what he can do in New South Wales Cup. He sets the competition alight. I think he's got like 9 tries and 11 assists or something this year. He's been absolutely killing it down there. So he needs to come in with that mentality because every time he comes in, Guthrie either overplays his hands or they put pressure on Dylan to step up. So if Jake goes down and plays his football and runs a team like any halfback should, then he can get us away with a win. That's my opinion. It's going to be a challenge, there's no doubt. We've seen much rely on Mitch in the last couple of years. But, yeah, that's my thoughts. And obviously, look, their forward pack's obviously pretty strong and they're pretty slick down there. So, and they've hit some form that I didn't expect them to hit. So, Hayden, I'll go to you first.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be a tough game. You mentioned that the last two times we've been down to Canberra, we've been able to get the job done. But, look, they were an okay team last year. But this side that you're seeing really hitting form, as you mentioned, so worrying. I'm looking forward to Jake. I really am. I think after that grand final performance as well, obviously only came on late in the game, but I think he's got a bit of confidence there. He's having a great season in New South Wales Cup. I don't know about making it his team, but I still think, you know, getting the team around him, which they do anyway. He's copped so much criticism already on the internet, which is frustrating to see. So I'll be there on Saturday night cheering Jake on. And obviously a little bit disappointing that, and I know I've said it for a long time, that Madison's great off the bench, but over Davey, he should get that starting spot. We've got, you know, Joel will agree with me. I don't know if you guys will about Sean Lane, but look, we've got underperforming back rowers that are earning, they're not earning their spots, but they're getting picked week in, week out. And you've got players on the bench who are playing consistent footy. So I'm a little bit disappointed with the lineup. And again, we've re-signed Sean Russell, not using him. And I don't think Hayes did enough against the Titans. So I've been saying for 2 weeks now that if I could make a change, it would probably be Sean Russell for Hayes.
Yeah, we'll go to you next, Joel.
Hayden's basically stolen everything I was going to say. So.
Okay, thanks, Joel.
it's a difficult one because I personally think it's Dylan Brown's biggest game of his career. And I say that more, not because I want to go over and, as you said, Adam, just be everywhere. More so, he needs to still play his game that he's been playing for the last couple of weeks and have the confidence in Jake to do Jake. My worry with the team is, in the game, is that if you look back on all our wins this year and when we're playing footy, it's when Moses is on, and Moses isn't there to kickstart that this time. And for mine, that's a real worry for us, is that we won't have the guy that's been really starting our season, or not our season, of games and our victories this year. So I'm really worried about no Moses. The Lane thing is interesting, and at the moment, we've got the back row all wrong, and people keep going back to losing Papali'i, things like that, and it hurts us a lot. But we've got two of our better second rowers starting on the bench, and I don't know why they're not both just starting and setting a platform and making the other two watch them and watch how they're playing. That's how I'd be doing it, but it's just really, really annoying at the moment. It's really frustrating to be a supporter of the club and have to keep dealing with the mediocre side of things, not just from certain players, but from players, from the coaching staff, the coaches. And it just seems like at the moment there's not much accountability across the whole club. And that's a real frustrating thing for me and I think a few of the fans that we've spoken to lately anyway. So, yeah.
Yeah, you're right. There is, look, I don't think like we're getting that balance right. We got pretty excited a few weeks back because, besides the fact I think it was a week Junior was out, we finally seemed to find that balance with that starting pack. I think we had, you know, Lane, Madison, and then Hopwood named it Locke. And then all of a sudden we went away from that to put Davey in there. And look, I'd have Cartwright heading as well, as I said, but what's going on at backline, I don't know. I don't know why Russell got dropped. I know he struggled to pass the ball a couple of times in that night's game, but the fact that Bailey come in and Troy gave him man of the match, obviously, I haven't really watched it back that closely. What he did, I didn't think he did too much, but
he did play well. I was watching on TV. I thought he had a really solid game. Definitely had his moments defensively where he was better, good in attack. I thought Bailey had a nice game, so I could. I don't know about man of the match, but I could understand where Troy was coming from, picking him as one of the standout players on Sunday. Yeah.
Pretty limited from that corner. I was like I liked to sit that little bit higher and. Obviously looked down on it, but couldn't quite do that. So, no, but based on that, yeah, we'll go to you first, Troy. Get your thoughts on this team, and then we'll move on to predictions.
Yeah, look, I think we all knew that Jake was going to come back into that halfback role. It's great to see Jake back for the first time, I think, this year in first grade. All he needs to do is just pass, kick, defend, and when Dylan wants the ball, Dylan gets the ball. That's all he needs to do. So he's not in there to be a superstar. He just has to do his job, and then Dylan will feel more comfortable and take it from there. So, look, it's going to be tough down in Canberra. We always know that. We've been lucky the last couple of times we've been down there. We obviously smashed them in the semi-final last year, but that was at Parramatta. Canberra are going for 5 in a row, so they're on a bit of a roll at the moment. So they're playing some good footy, so... Look, it's going to be tough. I think always it's a battle in the forwards. between any Canberra team and any opposition. So that should be a good duel there. I'd probably leave Matto on the bench. We saw during last year his impact that he had coming off the bench into the game. So I think that's probably a good move. I probably wouldn't have had Davey. I probably would have had Cartwright start, and I probably would have brought Ogden onto the bench.
Yeah, I think Ogden's been roughly dropped after that night's game, but obviously he'll have to wait his opportunity and see what happens. Look, where we win the game to me as well, it's just a hard one this week. I'd usually say in our forward pack, but they all need to stand up. I think we need to work on our connections out wide. Like, it's still not clicking between Dylan and Sean Lane. It was so dangerous for us last year. Like, look back at one of the tries from the weekend. Cartwright throws that nice ball to Lane, who's practically through the gap. And then, to Dylan, who was through the gap. Then all he had to do was throw a nice pass to Lane, who just wasn't there. So it goes behind Bailey. Bailey picked up, and Sibo ended up scoring anyway. We need to start getting those little things right and working on those combinations, because we're just not slick enough. It hasn't clicked yet. This is a game that has to click, because we can't afford to lose it, to be honest. And that's why I do think we will win, based on the fact that the pressure of our season is kind of on the line. We play South Sydney the week after. I know it's hard to have your eye on that game, because we say you can't have your eye on next game, but it's going to be a very hard game as well. So we need to carry some kind of momentum into that game. So it's pretty much becoming a must-win game for us this weekend. So
You're right, but I don't think it's panic stations, because we don't want to drop the game, obviously, and we don't want to lose too many more, but it's not panic stations, because after the South Sydney game, we've got a few good games that we should win. There's a couple of buys in there as well, and it's during the Origin period as well. So we will probably only lose maybe Junior Paolo, and a good opportunity to pick up those games.
Troy, we're also only 2 points behind all those teams. And if you look at our for and against, we're a team that has the plus rather than the minus. So there's a lot of things going our way. We saw last season we were able to get into the top four with a bit of a late run. We were still good against some teams, but inconsistent. Look, we're a lot worse this year, but still showing those signs of attack. So I could be wrong, I think it's plus 34 and being two wins outside the eight, it's definitely not hit the panic button. I'm still, a bit optimistic on the season, but the more you look into it, if we come good and get a few wins, that for and against, especially with some of the games we've had, I think that Knights game probably really helped us. If we, don't concede 30-6 in Canberra this week, we should be all right.
Well, I'm just going to say these panic stations. I'll give you the reasons why. We're grand finalists last year. We're sitting 13th, right? Our aim this year shouldn't have been to make top eight. Our aim should have been to win the comp. Simple fact is we're not going to win the comp from outside the top four. Like, as Matt says, commented there, we need 10 from 14 just to make the eight, including the buys. If we don't win this week, we need, 10 from 13. So it's panic stations. It's definitely panic stations. All right, well, we'll see. If we're sitting here next week.
You look at the Panthers. They were premiers last year. They lose a couple of games. Do they panic?
Yes. Because both of these teams have lost a lot of their personnel, right? We mentioned Marnie. We mentioned Papalihi. Think about all the other players we've lost. Murata, Oregon Kafusi. You go to the Panthers as well, who have lost plenty of attack. They're using, Koski and Sorensen are doing a great job, but they're no, kick out. Appy Coruscant, you can see that these players, and that's why this competition's so open as well. Last year you had those players that were gelling with the team, and now you've got a different team working together. So that's why I think that yes, there's still the differences, and you can't say that the teams that were in the grand final last week, or even the Panthers, I don't want to hear people say to me, the Panthers are the benchmark of the competition. I'm sick of hearing it. They're fucking not.
They're not, and you're right. But the difference is with Penrith, it's not panic stations at Penrith because they've won two comps in a row. It's very hard to win two comps in a row, let alone three comps in a row. So they're going for their third comp in a row. People are going to turn up against them every week, right? I know it's easy to say, you just made a grand final, people are going to turn up. But we've thrown away three games. We've thrown away three games with poor mismanagement in the field, round one and round two. And then, a couple of things didn't go away against Manly. And then on the weekend, goal kicking and I say mismanagement again, but off the field. So, yeah, if we'd won those four games, we probably should have won. We would have been sitting equal second. That wouldn't be
great. We have been joined by a special guest, just to give him a shout-out, guys.
Nobody,
Canberra Raiders drummer is in the building.
Nobody expected us to be in the grand final either last year, so...
Yeah, but I feel like this is the problem at the moment, is you say we've won, and we should have probably won comfortably, and we didn't do so. So we're not a side where we can go up to games. And they had that attitude on the weekend where they thought, it's just going to happen, we're going to win, easy done. We're not doing what we do right. And in that hard game where we get the forward and go hard, we're not doing it. We're not trying to earn victories. They're just expecting it to happen. And that's the whole problem at the moment. Now, I'll give you one comment to me that sums up why it's panic stations. In the press conference after the game on the weekend, Brad Arthur goes, ask them just then how we lost that game. I can tell you how we lost that game because we didn't actually play well at all. So him to go in the press conference and act like we actually were the better team, to me sums up that we've got nothing this year. Team that we were here on the grand finalists, because our coach doesn't even know why we lost a game that everyone can see, or most fans can see. We actually played pretty shit on the week. Like, we scored some points here, but we're all over the place still. It's fucking 10 rounds in. Like, it's horrible. We're 10 rounds in after grand final winning, grand finalists, where the last 2 years the Penrith Panthers lost their first one. They had the fire in their belly to go hard out, and they've done that for 2 years in a row. Our players want to feed off the grand final like it's some sort of win for them. We've lost the grand final. We haven't won one for years, for 30-odd years. So tell me how it's not panic stations. We've got absolutely nothing so far. I don't know how you can't see it, Troy.
What happened?
2010 vibes.
Yeah, really. Exactly.
It feels the same as 2010. It's what happened? Just waiting for it to happen. We string a couple of games together, waiting for it to happen. It hasn't happened yet. Go ahead.
What happened on YouTube and Twitter really frustrated me, and I think it frustrated you, Joel. I know Troy was on the other side of the equation, but if you guys didn't see it, the Parramatta Eels via Instagram and Twitter put up something saying that we've won our last seven against the Titans with a, you know, this little cheering thing. That cheering photo was used of a Titans player saying basically, how's this going? And the Parramatta Eels commented to them on both social media platforms, oh, good work, you've had one win out of your last seven, you know, taunting teams. You can't be taunting teams like that. We mentioned earlier that the Raiders have lost their last two in Canberra to us. Imagine the Eels go out this week and say, we've won our last two in Canberra. Not only is there issues within the club and within the playing group and the spine, different things, the issue is the background and who is working in the background as well. Who's putting stupid ideas to taunt teams like that, that's making us look like a cocky club? You're seeing people put up TikTok videos speaking about this. You're seeing all the comments underneath those comments. It's disrespectful, and we need to... I'm glad we got humbled. I'm glad we got humbled because we should learn from it, and it really pissed me off. So that's not the way that teams react.
If you notice in the pre-game previews that the club sends out, usually they send out... part of that send-out is the past five games that they've played against that club. So this week, they tried a different angle. So that was that. The perception was that they were cocky and arrogant, but that wasn't what they went out to go and do. They simply just put that tweet out, Instagram post out, instead of putting the five stats down of the five games and just saying it that way.
I think, look, I'm going to say this because I think in a way the club does listen when they're forced to. We had the issue, obviously, a few weeks back about the players not going around the fans and how much that raised. We've seen how much that's changed since then. I don't think getting it related back to football, because I don't like talking politics about clubs, because we've been through it before and we're in a much better situation than we were during those wooden spoon years. Our club was an absolute joke, and it's a place we see someone like the Tigers now and the Dragons. So I don't want to go down that track again, but I think we probably need our coach to listen more to the fans and stuff than anything, because everyone seems to be raising points that they're missing. So I think there's an underlying issue in our coaching staff as well, and the communication between the coaching staff and the club. But that's all I really want to say about that anyway. I don't want to continue too much about that. I know he's angry about it, but to me, what happens on social media, this is why social media is bad. There's arrogance on social media and there's way too much involvement in some things. So, cool. We're moving on. We're done. Nothing else to add from the games? No? All right. We're going to go to bold predictions.
Bring it on.
Who's going first? I'm not. Troy, you can go first because you're always so risky with these.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Look, so risky. All right. So, score will be... it'll be 28-20 again. I said that last week, so I'll stick with that one. I'll go Bailey Simonson, first try scorer, and I'll go Josh Hodgson to put in a man of the match performance, 3 try assists.
he probably will actually. I think he'll have a good game against Cam this week. Look, it's very rare for me, but I'm finding it hard to actually tip Parramatta. I've said I think we'll win because I want Jake to have a good game. I was actually going to go a 22-all draw. That's what I was thinking because I couldn't tip us and I couldn't tip against us. But I'm going to say we're going to win 23-22. My first try scorer is going to be Jake Arthur. And I'm actually going to say Jake Arthur will kick the winning field goal. I'm just optimistic that the kid has a good game. He's got so much shit that I want him to stand up and have a good game. And it's probably the only reason I'm tipping us based on the fact I need him to do something good. Joel?
I'm with you. I'm really finding it hard to say we're going to win this game. The head and heart are saying two different things. For the video, I'll say we'll get it up.
No, tell us what you really think.
first try scorer, I'll go for Junior. I might just smack one over early on. And then I'll go Dill Brown and get a double lead from the front and get a double.
Michael Hayden?
For the sake of the video, do I tip Para? You know what? I'm going to say what I really think. I'm going down to Canberra on Saturday night. I'm looking forward to cheering on the boy 4 rows back from the Eels Bay. Hopefully a good crowd and hopefully we can get the boys home for our third straight victory in Canberra. From a tipping perspective, though, I think it's going to be a tight struggle and I think the home team will get the job done here. I am going the Raiders here. I think it's a loss. I think we are in almost panic stations, but I'm going to go 18 points to 14. I think it'll be low scoring. Look, my first try scorer was Bailey Simonson, but I'll go Clint Gutherson. He just seems to be having a great year and he'll step up in the absence of some players. Look, since I'm tipping the Raiders, I'll go a bold prediction that Joe Tarpany will run more metres than any of the Eels forwards.
There you go.
Okay.
Welcome to the Talking Raiders podcast. Where you are.
Oh, man.
Well, Joel chickened out.
Prove me wrong, Para.
Joel chickened out. He was going to tip Canberra too, but he said Parramatta.
Joel gave the boys a rev up and it worked. I've given you a fucking rev up. I've spoken about your social media. I've spoken about the way this game's going to go. Prove me wrong. Go on, Para.
I think we had this moment last year, actually, this exact moment. And I think it was actually against Canberra when we went down there and beat them. So quite comfortably. So let's hope it happens again. But like I said, it's panic stations. I'm not going to Knights panic stations. It's a win we need to have and we need to get on a bit of a roll after this. So.
I tipped this last year against Canberra. I remember I was confident. We went, I think, 28-20, but I think I tipped us by 4. But, yeah, I remember tipping us. I don't know if many people did, but...
I think the comments are coming in down the bottom here. I think
why don't we just open it up to the floor for some questions?
He's suspended next week. What, for being honest? At least speak peace of mind. Maybe we'll beat the Rabbitohs. They're due a loss next week. We'll see. Speaking of, I probably need to get my tickets for that, boys.
Yeah, I'm trying to organise something for that, so...
Allianz.
All right, guys, we'll give a couple of minutes. Put in your questions, guys. There's obviously a question little button at the bottom. Chuck them in. We'll answer them on the screen. Put them on.
You'll be featured on this week's podcast.
Your name is Matt Sublaw and you're still here. You've used up all your questions. You're not allowed to ask
anything. Mika, don't say Raiders by 30. I'm going to be in Canberra. It's going to be a long drive home with my Raiders friend Jared in the car going...
Yeah, are you driving there and back on the same day?
No, so I have a mate who lives in Wollongong. He actually lives, believe it or not, next to one of Channel 9's commentators, so he probably could have gotten a lift with her. He lives next to Alana Ferguson, and he will be meeting him there, driving down to Canberra and then coming back to Wollongong. And then, you know, Mother's Day, I'll be back for Mother's Day to have some Sanchiro with Mum.
Yeah, see, I was meant to go take the young fella down, but decided to put Mother down, not going on the Sunday. So I had it all booked in, but I think I'm just over it. I'm over travelling, so.
And to all the mothers listening or watching, happy Mother's Day for Sunday.
We had a great Fury, and what's going on with you?
Oh, Malin, whatever, with a bloody roast and a half. And while we have a guest of Simon the drummer.
I haven't seen that one yet.
Update where Dury's at. There was a question earlier about him.
New South Wales Cup. Playing pretty good, actually.
I think Matty said he questioned the coach about some of the decisions. So he hasn't been included, but I don't know how much truth there is to that.
Well, he'll never be seen again based on recent history.
Well, you did have that vicious hip drop against him.
Got a question. Can we please see a Joel blow up every week? Because it's amazing. Joel, you had you packed it away this week. Will you be back soon?
Oh, I had a little one. I had a little one about the club, and I just feel like it is panic station. But, yeah, a little segment each week, if that's what the viewers want. A little Joel blow up, 2-minute segment. I'll just spit some facts that.
We should change it to Yelling Para Podcast.
I'll just call it Joel's Justice, we'll call it. That'll be 2 minutes of Joel just blowing up.
Canberra Raiders drummer says Rapana will come to me after we win the game to do the Viking clap. We hope not.
Ask him if he remembers the Viking clap that went around Combank last year. It was pretty good. Rapana didn't start that one. Is Rapana playing this week or is he suspended again?
Can we get white jerseys?
No, the white jerseys are here to stay, mate. They're the players
great.
Love them.
They're great. This year's one's great.
I do prefer the yellow jersey myself, but the players love the white jersey, so it's staying. And it's got to stay for, I think, 2-3 years due to NRL policy as well, so you can't go changing jerseys left, right and centre.
You can add in all the bloody jerseys during the year and a Bulldogs 158th meeting between the clubs.
That was just a T-shirt.
I'm just saying there's a lot of unnecessary jerseys and shirts that are released considering there's an agreement to say that you can't have this anymore.
Well, I love the white jerseys. I think you can have a maximum, I think it's 4 to 5 a year. That's it.
Okay.
It's for the fans, you know, so they don't have to buy one every second week.
Yeah. All right. Up there. We'll hand it over to Troy for everyone to say goodbye for the night once his internet is fixed. It is fixed. There we go.
Okay, well, thank you very much, everyone, for listening to the Talking Para podcast, and thank you for all our viewers that joined the Talking Para podcast on Instagram as well, something a little bit different. You'll be able to find the audio of this in a few hours' time on Apple, Spotify, and any other quality podcast platform. Can anyone catch the replay of the video at all, Hayden?
I believe so. I believe I can set the video to watch at any time over on the Talking_Para_podcast Instagram page.
There we go. So you can watch the video again as well. As I said before, happy Mother's Day to all the mothers watching and listening. And good luck to your team, Canberra Raiders drummer. But more likely, good luck to our team, I think. So we will see you next week for episode number 12. Go Para.
Go.